What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
I'm excited for today because, you know, this is technically, you know, this is we're a part of this legend, you know, we're a part of the Sketch family. Wait. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, okay. Got it.
You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes.
Like, in a smaller way,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you know.
It's Sketch. Right. We are the legacy of movies like this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like we are around, like we were able to do our thing because, you know,
yeah,
people like Chris Rock were, you know, it was able to do his thing back in the day.
Yep. I mean, it's crazy. This movie came out in 1993. Lord have mercy.
I know. And this is falls, you know, in that category of like, you know, movies I was never allowed to see because, you know.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Just my age, you know, the Christian
upbringing. No, it's not as bad as you would think, though.
It's not. Though, it really
I
mean, isn't.
I thought it was going to be way more aggressive.
Yes.
It's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be way more. But no, I don't remember watching this, but I felt like as we were watching it this time, I know so many lines from this movie. And I was like, how do I know these lines?
Oh, like, you did? Okay. So you were like, oh, I've seen.
Oh, my God.
Right. It is very cool.
I don't know. Maybe my friends were quoting it. I don't know how I know these lines, but yeah, it was great.
Had you seen it before or no?
I don't think so. Like, I think it was also like my parents would let me watch certain movies, but there were like, I don't think I got to watch this. I definitely did not get to watch Don't Be a Menace While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood.
Right.
So I'm not sure I was allowed to see this, but maybe my friends were, and that's why I remember the lines. Like, I have one friend in particular who I know quoted this movie.
Right. Yeah, this was definitely...
Yeah, but he had an older brother as well.
Ah, see, that's the other thing. If you have, like, older siblings, it's a little bit easier to get to watch movies like this that were, like, too you know, mature for you when you were young. But I didn't have one. So it's, like, pretty much... Like, see, before 2000, you know... I wasn't able to watch those kind of things, you know. That's like the
before 2000.
Yeah. Like if you look at it's like if you were looking at me, you'd be like, "He can't." My dad was like, "Mm-mm, you can't see before 2000."
This is a hard one.
I thought it was.
I just won't get that in.
You know what? When I did it in my head, it felt really good. And then coming out, okay. Let's take that back.
Let's try that again. You want a redo?
You want a rehash?
A remix?
See, before I do this, though.
Honestly, that's great. That's good. I give you that one.
Oh, you give me that one?
I give you that one. The other one was bad.
Right,
I'll give you that one.
You know, I'll take it.
Listen, I give you that one. Because that one is like, I see before. See, that makes sense. You know, you didn't have to say see before.
See before.
You had to say see before. I respect it. I respect that.
Well.
And then the people at home respect it.
Everybody's cheering and clapping in their cars. I love it. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock.
James III.
Drop Milligan.
What more can I say?
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City. Yeah. I'm licking your balls. Just big balls.
You got big old balls. You got king size balls. You got big balls.
Yeah, the thing is,
as he's doing that and he's trying to talk to them. And they purposely,
he's just looking at them like, oh, I hate this job.
Yes. And he purposely does not say, like, they don't show what his, like, they, everybody has like a little card outside of the thing. It's like this, you know, PN. And it didn't show his until he said, yeah, I'm licking your balls. And then Chris Rock holds up gay. And I was like, dog, this is crazy. Yeah.
This was my favorite quote. Shut up, girl. You just think you so smart because you can read. It was so uncalled for.
Yo, it's so many laughs. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm bigger than black, and I'm black, y'all. Like, oh my goodness, man. Oh my goodness.
Oh,
why do,
man.
Why do rappers keep calling black women bees and hoes? I mean, I call them other things. I call them pussy people. I was like, yo, this movie is wild, dog. The commentary is crazy in this film. Crazy. Crazy.
For those of you who are listening to us for the first time, welcome.
Welcome.
We are a podcast that reviews films of leading black actors. Okay. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And the voice you're listening to right now, that just sounds like, honestly, a middle-class black man. That's what the voice sounds like. That's what I got. Ah, that voice? Ah. That voice is Jonathan Braylock.
Oh, my goodness. This voice, is that a Dry Milligan, who might sound like the voice of the middle class black man pretending to be the hood voice. So we're like the two ends of the... like you him before he's Gusto, and I get to be the pretend Gusto voice. Yeah, niggas.
James III is not here. He abandoned us. So no, I'm just
honestly,
kidding.
I'm not even sure why he's not here. What was the reason again? Was there?
He said he had a last minute audition. He got auditions. You know.
Wait, but auditions you get. There's no next day turnaround no more. That's a part of the rules.
That's what it's supposed to be. I know. I wasn't gonna ask him that. I'll ask him later because he was like, I got a last minute audition, and I was like, that's supposed to be. You're not supposed to have that. That's against the SAG rules. You're supposed to get 48 hours, bro.
That's literally the rules. But you know what? He got a baby, so maybe the baby
tonight is the only night he could do it. Yeah, maybe that's. You know, first of all, also, happy Black History Month, everybody. It's Black History Month. We in it.
Yeah.
Okay?
We black, y'all. We black, y'all. It's we Black History y'all. Month, and we black, y'all.
Black, y'all.
Black. The shortest month of the year, y'all. Black, we got black. Swindo. It should be longer. We should got June. Maybe July. Maybe it's warmer. Why we got the coat? Literally, February is like one of the worst months. It's short. It's gray. It's like, why didn't we get, give us August. Everybody love August. Yeah.
Please.
You vacation in August. We should appeal this. Can we change it?
You know, this is what we, this is, no, man. They cemented us in it. They
you know
like,
what I found February. On this Black History Month day, on the day as we film, day six of Black History Month? I found a Papa John's gift card.
A Papa John's gift card?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much money is on it, though. But you know what? Okay. Okay.
The Black History Month fairy has blessed you.
Yep.
We are reviewing CB4. This is a 1993 satirical mockumentary written by Chris Rock, Nelson George, and Robert Locash. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Bro, I have no Locash. Idea. Let's say Locash.
Directed by Tamara Davis, a white woman who... was a music video director for a lot of rap groups like the NWA, which this movie is basically inspired by. It's kind of like follows the NWA story somewhat.
Yeah. It's like our version of
This is Spinal Tap.
Yeah, Spinal Tap. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. This film cost $6 million to make. It had a box office of $17.9 million. So not bad. Not bad for a rated R comedy.
Mm-mm.
And its Rotten Tomato score is 52% Rotten Tomatoes, 61% haters. Audience score.
What a bunch of haters.
They were hating.
Like, what a hater.
They were hating.
Wait, this blonde white lady did all these music videos?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Wow. Oh my God. Like, this is... Wait, I can't be looking at the right person, yo.
No, wow. No, it's her.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty wild, huh?
Yeah.
There's a quote from the New York Times about this movie that Janet Maslin wrote. It says, "The film promises sharper satire than it actually delivers, pandering a shade too avidly to the real rap audience."
Wow. Wow, what a hater.
I just think that's so funny. It's like they would never have said this is Spinal Tap pander too much to real rock audience. You know what I mean?
No.
It's just how it goes. This film obviously stars Chris Rock. You also got Alan Payne, Deezer D, and Chris Elliott. Also, Charlie Murphy is in it, as well as Phil
Charlie
Hartman,
Murphy,
Teresa Randall. Yeah, Charlie Murphy.
I can only say his name like that.
Yeah.
Charlie Murphy.
Apparently, wait, Isaac Hayes, they say Isaac Hayes in this movie. When was he in this movie?
I don't remember seeing that. Isaac Hayes at all.
It's me neither. Anyway.
Like, yeah.
But I guess he's in it. And yeah.
You know, they say time waits for no one. And neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
It, listen, you know, when you get Earnin', you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from Earnin'. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn, the extra large drink, some pretzies on the side. Can't go without the pretzies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. You know? That happens to all of us.
Yeah, that's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin app, type in JUMP under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. JUMP under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Shall we go to initial thoughts?
Yeah, I'll go. I really enjoyed this movie. Yeah, I have no notes. It was just like, I thought it was super smart. I thought the commentary they were making was creative. I thought it was really cool at the top of the movie to show they had the blessing and not just like, I was worried they were making fun of NWA, but they weren't. Like, I loved it. Like, it starts with, Halle Berry, Lord have mercy.
You
had Ice Cube, you had a young Ice-T, you had Flavor Flav. I was like, oh, it gave it that credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Also had other cameos.
Eazy-E.
Yeah, had Eazy-E. And to me, it was so important because as the movie went on, it was like, oh, it was commenting on the society that made this popular, not necessarily the people behind it. And I think that was kind of really important because that way, and that's probably why people didn't like this movie, because it didn't point the fingers at the black rappers and creators. It kind of pointed fun at the society that, like, you know, that they use to benefit in life. So I really enjoyed this movie. Really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought this movie was so funny. Which is so hard to do, especially for like a satire that is very topical. Obviously, we know about that period of time. And if you've seen Straight Outta Compton, you know the NWA story a little bit more. Some of that stuff was like, you know, reimagined in this. But even so, like, I think it's hard for comedies to like translate over decades. And this one was, to me, still fun. I'd never seen it before. It was still really funny. Yeah, and I feel like they definitely were like making fun of, like, they were like making fun of some of the rap like stuff and like the ideas of like rappers who were really into like hardcore gangster rap, but like weren't actually about that life. But like it also very much was like celebrating the culture, making fun of white people who were like scared of that culture, like
and their kids who loved it.
Yeah, and the kids who loved it. It definitely felt like a movie for a black audience that like, you know, white audiences could also appreciate and find funny, but like it didn't feel like it was like pandering to a white audience. That makes sense.
100%. Yep, 100%.
Yeah. And it's so quotable and like it like has like a good story structure, so it didn't feel like it was just like, you know, a bunch of random sketches that didn't like, you know, make any sense. And yeah, there were just a lot of funny moments, and it's short. I mean, goodness, can we just have movies that are this short again?
Under 90 minutes, baby.
Under 90 minutes. Come on, baby. Like, let's just get it.
Especially if it's a comedy. Some of these comedies are epics. It's like, what is happening? What is happening?
They don't
need
to be this long.
No. The movie was fun. I just watched it.
Yeah. And yeah, so this movie kind of starts out like, well, first we see them at kind of at their height. And basically they're in
the manager's office.
Manager's office. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like this guy, Chris Elliott, is like the documentarian, and he's like kind of hey, like I'm, you know, like just getting the stuff, and like they're like supposed to be watching the video. And we get this like crazy scene where like they go out and he's like filming them while they're like driving, and then all of a sudden a shootout, like they start getting shot at. And then Chris Elliott's like, ooh, my first drive-by.
Which is so funny because I was watching this like, man, this is so insane. But then I remember it's a crazy movie came out in 93, which means they're already parodying something that happens a lot. But I remember watching, and I think this guy used to be at UCB at one point, but how Vice built up a lot of the audience was like, you would always see like these white people going to like, you know, black and brown areas. And they had a show called Noisy, I think it was called. And there was this white guy who would always go to rappers, but like he would always go in the hood. And like, he'd be like, oh my goodness, there's guns everywhere. And like, is that lean? What's in the lean? It was just insane. I guess I'll put on this t-shirt. And it's just like so wild that they made fun of this maybe 20 years prior to that ever happening, 15 years. And it just persisted. Right. Yeah, they get shot at by Charlie Murphy, who just has a machine gun on the street. Just like shooting at them with a machine gun on the street. Like, I don't even know the better way to say it. It's kind of crazy.
And the way that they lose him is he just goes and drives into traffic, and he's like, he'd be crazy to follow me in here. And he's like, man, I'm gangster, but I ain't crazy. Like he
Which is funny because I was like, where is he going? And then when it just said the Hollywood freeway, I was like, yo, that's it. He's just in traffic.
He's like, I ain't going on the 101. Are you kidding? That's crazy.
Yo, I'm like, that's my freeway. No. Oh my God. That was such a good thing.
Did you catch that, like, throughout the movie, every time they cut back and he's like, because he's like basically telling him the whole story, telling Chris Elliott this whole story in the car. And he's like, I hope you got a lot of tape. But like every time they cut back to them, like there's another car by them and like some crazy person like in
the car. It was like a monster at some point was in the car next to them.
Yeah.
I was like, what is the deal with this bit? Like, what is happening with this bit?
Funny, like, running joke where they're never acknowledging the people who are there, but it's always just something insane.
Just something crazy every time. Yeah, I love that. Also, I loved when we got to the first flashback to like hear how they had this really nice suburban upbringing, because now it felt like a little bit of like Boys in the Hood, where again, like, I know Boys in the Hood, they were in the hood, but seeing that he came from like a good family, had a dad that was there.
Right. Dad had a job. Yeah.
Oh, and we cannot forget, what's the woman's from The Craft's name? She was...
His girlfriend?
Yeah, his girlfriend.
Rachel True.
Rachel True. Yo. Rachel True was in two movies that I will never forget. She was in, like, The Craft, and then she was in Half-Baked,
Mm-hmm. And then she had this show on UPN.
It's Mary Jane.
Yeah. And UPN, when they used to like, what was it called?
Half and half.
And I was like, man, I used to be in love with this woman. Yeah, he had his girlfriend. He's in his house.
Very, very pretty.
Let me tell you what made me laugh is that when he tells the flashback about his family, it cuts back to the present. And Chris Elliott's like, oh, tell me the rest of them weren't middle class as well. It was like he said something like that. And he just had the nastiest face, like middle class as well. And I'm like, wait, did you disrespect them more because they were from poverty? Like, what? What?
Yes. Yes.
Also, what's funny is when you get to Otis, Stab Master Arson. Lord have mercy.
Stab Master Arson.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Like, his family has some actresses in it. His family had, what is her name? She was on The Parkers. She was the best friend on The Parkers. She was like the one sister. Oh. What's her name? The heck? Or was it Moesha? I keep getting the. All right. Char Jackson was one of the sisters. And then the other sister, I believe, was the youngest. I can't. The girl. She's not the girl from Bernie Mac show, but she's another.
Wait, who is she? Who is she in this movie?
She was just like one of the sisters at the table. Cause like basically he had that whole six or seven sisters. Two of the sisters. Yeah. Like, ended up acting later in life. Yeah, they end up acting later. Can't remember all of their names, though. I'll go on IMDb, but that was really cool. I'm the man of the house. Well, I gotta be, you know?
I gotta be. He has to relax my hair. He's gotta play me in video games. He's gotta program my computer.
Yeah, he's gotta do my homework. I was like, my goodness. My man was doing everybody's stuff.
Yeah, and then so yeah, their whole thing is like they're all cousins. We get the, you know, they go over to Alan Payne's
dog.
Like, he has a job. It's all these like phone sex, but all these weird things. Like one is just it's like 706 piss.
Yes, just
this woman pouring water into a bucket, and you're just like, oh, good lord.
What's so crazy about that is like. That's the prelim to OnlyFans. You know what I mean? It's like, this is the OnlyFans before the OnlyFans, baby. You know, also what's crazy is that the actress, Teresa, who plays the reporter, starred in the Spike Lee movie, Girl 6, which is about, we should actually do Girl 6. I don't think I've ever done that. Girl 6, which is about this woman who has to end up taking a job at a sex line, like in the 90s. I think it's called Girl 6.
I just realized her character's name in Bad Boys is also Teresa. I didn't realize that until now.
Wow.
Because she's Martin Lawrence's wife.
Yes, she is the wife.
Yeah. In Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2. She's also in Malcolm X and Spawn.
Yeah, she's the wife in Spawn.
She was great in this.
Mm-hmm. So good. So good. We keep going, but so good. So good.
Yeah. Well, we hit the gusto. So basically, their whole thing is they love rap. They like have this scene where they're like in the car, and he's like, "You got the tape?" And they like just play Run DMC.
I love that. Yeah,
yeah. And then they're like just rapping along to Run DMC in the car. But then the tape is so worn out because they've been listening to it all the time. Like speeds up and slows down. They're when they like show they're like, "Hey, and like here's all the different like." Rap groups we try to make, and one of them was like Bagheads.
It was like Bagheads, the Fat Boys.
They just had shower caps on their
But also, what's so
the
crazy
fat
is
boys.
Then one was like the neo soul rap fat. Group. Yeah, but I like how much respect they have for hip hop, and maybe this is what the white lady didn't like. But I like that they kind of went through the genres of hip hop. You know what I mean? Like there were the Fat Boys, like
right.
You know. The Bagheads weren't black, but that we did have like the Beastie Boys who would do kind of crazy shit like that. And, you know, we had the Tribe Called Quests. So I really did enjoy that.
Yeah, it was like they were trying to find a thing, like they're trying to find a gimmick to set them apart. But Gusto was the guy who owned the club. That's Charlie Murphy. And he's like an actual kind of gangster. And, you know, they get in a little run in with him. And they get thrown out the club. So then the next day, Chris Rock's character has to go and like apologize and basically gets like caught up in a drug bust that's happening. And it seems like he set Gusto up. But he realizes, wait a minute, if Gusto's going to jail, he's going to CB4, cell block 4, then maybe I could just take his identity and that could be our thing. And we just become gangster rappers. And that's like...
Listen, bro, Rick Ross.
How they went into it.
Yo, mm-hmm. I mean, legitimately, which is kind of crazy, but like Rick Ross did it. 50 Cent did. I mean, Rick Ross is a little different where he like took that man's name, which is kind of crazy, and made a huge career out of it. He still uses it to this day. I'm a Rick Ross fan. I'm sorry. I love Rick Ross.
He's still around. Yeah.
Yeah. Ricky Rose. I'm a fan. See, it happens.
Hustling. Yeah. I like the scene where when they first discuss this, they're in just like the Big Biscuit store and they just have these like huge freaking biscuits with
like a piece of butter just sitting in the middle of it melting. Just like, I think the name is
a huge piece of butter.
I think the store is called Big Ass Biscuits.
Big Ass Biscuits. Man, just eat your big ass biscuit.
Yo, what a good story. I mean, look, I like that they came up with the idea. It's funny how quickly they take off. It's crazy how quickly they take off. But also that says something. Even when they go into the Trust Us record label and have the meeting with the manager, like all those
Trust Us record label.
Trust Us, baby. which to me reminded me of like FUBU.
Trust Us.
For Us By Us. It's like, it was one of those black names. Right. I loved it. Trust Us. And when he's asking them questions like, you know, do you guys...
Oh, wait, I'm pulling this up. Yeah.
Do you guys, like, use profane language in your music? Yeah. Do you guys... what is it? Do you promote violence in your music? Yeah. Do you guys, like, what is it? Disrespect or
defile
say...
Defile women?
Defile women. Oh, hell yeah. They all said something in unison at that point. Yeah. Do you guys believe in anything at all? Fuck no. Or something like that. I was like, wow.
Okay, final questions. Do you guys respect anything at all? And they're like, not a goddamn thing. And then they go, you got a deal.
Yo, which is crazy. Which is crazy. Because to me, you know what's so interesting is I watched the Milli Vanilli doc because I don't know if I told you this. I was walking my dog.
Right.
And someone yelled down the street, hey, Milli Vanilli. And I was like, that hurts. But then I went to watch it. Yeah.
Gerard got locks. That's why.
And they racist. And they're racist. They couldn't say Lenny Kravitz. They nigga said Milli Vanilli. Oh, God. I got to get a beard. But I watched it, and it's something funny to that because those guys kind of had the same situation where it was like, you know, they kind of got done over by their producer, but it was because, you know, they were kind of willing to like, they wanted to make it, and they had been through so much stuff that it was like, yeah, let's do it, you know?
Yeah.
And so when they were like, you guys believe in anything? No, it's like, that's the business. It's like, there's no money in at the time, or sometimes it feels like there's no money in having morals, which is unfortunate, but.
Real.
Yeah, so real. And yeah, it became a hit.
Became a hit.
Wait, what's my favorite? What's the woman's name, though?
Those rap lyrics were crazy.
Sissy. Sissy is one of my favorite characters. What do you even call, what was her job? I don't even know what Sissy... The high class groupie or the video vixen or
I mean she's like the video vixen because she's like in there, she's like, she always like appears in rappers videos, but like basically she establishes the fact that like she sleeps with rappers and when she sleeps with them she gets pictures of them in compromising positions and then uses that to blackmail them so that it's like, I'm not just a groupie, like groupies, like you get to ride in their car. They take you out on a date. They buy you some food. But with me, they buy me the car. They buy me jewelry. Like I get, you know, they have to pay up. So like, and she has this whole photo book of all these Polaroids she's taken of the men between her legs. That's what it is.
Which is crazy. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's crazy that she shows the guy and he's like, oh, I want that.
Yeah, he's like, oh, for real? Let me get in here.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. good goodness.
And then they also set up Phil Hartman's character, who's like a politician who's running for office. He wants to be elected. And like his campaign manager basically is like, you need a media splash. And then he's like, sees that his little kid is like, little son is like watching this gangster rap. And he's like, oh, I got an idea. Like, I'll just, you know, go after these gangster rappers and say that they're ruining America with their, you know, lyrics and demonizing our children and blah, 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 blah.
Which is so crazy because that stuff definitely happened. And yeah. What's crazy is this earlier in the day, I was listening to this podcast that talks about, you know, I'm gonna be blatantly honest. I think a lot of people can say it, but all the horrible things that Ronald Reagan actually did, especially towards minorities. And right. So to watch him, like, just see his son like a black thing and be like, I don't like this. It fascinates me when I think about, like, how, you know, the hospital systems in LA were kind of changed after Reagan. And like how music, I remember like being younger. And again, I wasn't really allowed to listen to too much rap because of the cursing. But I remember even when he wasn't president, like the times they were like burning and stomping on rap records. Like, I'm not sure which artist it was at the time.
Sure, it was NWA.
Mm-hmm. But I definitely remember like bonfires to rap and like stomping and stuff like that. Which is such a crazy thing to think about. Whereas now rap is like the biggest thing in the world. CB4, man. Oh, what else? Oh, I do love that that Dead Mike, Alan Payne's character, immediately became like a Hotep, like almost immediately he bought like the Hotep book and then had like the spiritual healer at every point in his life and was like, oh, my black sister, which was dope because when Teresa shows up and starts, you know, what's her character's name? Eve, when Eve shows up and starts giving Chris Rock a go for it, for like talking about women in a certain kind of way, he storms off. I love that Dead Mike comes, I love you. I just love the wokeness of it all. Just like, I love all of this. But then when they break up, he legit becomes like Ice Cube and is like, I'm black gal. And then the one who doesn't talk,
right,
Grandmaster Arson, basically becomes like Two Live Crew. And it's just like, he's a DJ when women just twerking on stage. I'm like... I was like, yo, it says so much about the state of hip hop. Like the fact that one of the famous rappers, when they were trying to come up, that even Trust Us had was what's that rapper's name? Was it rapper D or something like that? He was like the fake MC Hammer. He had like the green pants, and he was like, I dance in your pants, I dance in your face.
I can't believe almost forgot about the freaking MC Hammer satire. Like, that was so funny.
Like, what is that character's dancing name? CB4.
Oh my goodness.
MC
that was
Hammer.
So funny.
Dang, I can't remember the name of that character's name. Wacky D. Wacky D. That was his name. Wacky D. Also, what's funny is people learn real quick to stop playing with freaking MC Hammer. They said MC Hammer was the most gangster dude out of all of hip hop to this day. To this day, you don't mess with MC Hammer. That man at one point, bruh, had on green pants, that green, whatever you call it, top, and is just kicking his legs in a circle. That's it. Like, what? Like, let me find the lyrics to this song.
Oh, man.
The lyrics.
That was so funny. While you're looking that up, another scene that I love was when they're both having sex with Sissy. It's like you're showing it back to back.
Oh my goodness. And
like what? Like what? The one scene is Payne, Alan Payne, like picking her up and like laying her down on the bed. And then when it cuts to the Chris Rock, she's picking Chris Rock up and laying him down on the bed.
Let me tell you what's crazy. And this may be too much info, but that's how the videos are now. It's just like women picking up these little ass dudes. And I'm like, what's happening?
It's so funny. And then when he's like, there's like, it's like, he's like, Alan Payne's like having sex with her. And she, like, he has her propped up. and then it shows Chris Rock is being propped up and she's kind of like going like this. And all of a sudden it becomes a doll. And he's like,
yo,
when he became a doll, I was like, yo, this is so silly. I love it.
I miss that. I miss seeing someone get smacked and it's just a doll that flies across the room. like there's this couple on TikTok who did something where like it was like, oh, when like your girl like is playing with you, it's like a girl, like his girlfriend is like beating him up and like punching him. He's like, hey man, stop playing. And he just like sways his hand in the air. But like all of a sudden she goes flying across the room, but it's a doll with a fake afro wig. And I'm like, yo, this kind of stuff is so funny to me. Hold on, Bray. I got the lyrics for it. I'm gonna just say it to you. Hold on. Let me time it out. He's the wackiest. There's no question. He can dance. He can dance in his pants. He can dance in your face. His raps may be a disgrace, but he can dance. He got sun. He got shine. Cause he going for mine. Oh, wait, Bray. Did he mention before that he can dance? Dance in your face. Dance in your face! Dog is so
dance
good.
Dance in your face!
I'm sorry. It's so
that
good.
That was so funny.
Also, when now I'm skipping ahead, but when the manager dies, cause what was it? Charlie Murphy gets out of jail and is like threatening everybody, whatever.
Yeah, and he's choking. Yeah.
And he's choking and people are trying to help, but like no one actually helps.
Nobody knows the Heimlich.
Yeah.
No, that's not how you do it.
Yes. And he just dies.
Like, what?
But what's funny is that there's a quick scene of Pootie Tang. Pootie Tang shows up at the funeral.
Oh my God. Yes, I was like, oh my God, it's Pootie Tang.
Yes, dog.
He looked exactly
Tang.
The same.
Hair, mustache.
Why he look exactly the same though?
Pootie
Tang. I'm like,
Tang.
This man ain't. This man looked exactly the same.
And Pootie Tang, Bray, literally a decade. Pootie Tang came out like 8 or 9 years later, dog. Like,
dude, like 10 years later, right?
Yeah,
like, when
it
did
was
Pootie
like,
Tang
yeah.
come out?
Close, 2001.
Pootie Tang, oh, okay, 2001. Okay, so yeah. So 8 years later. Oh my goodness. Yeah, Lance
Pootie
Crothered.
Freaking Tang.
Dude, he was. He's like, you stole me money. Punch him in the eye.
Yo, it's so funny. And he had a black eye.
Better give my money. I don't care, you dead. You better give me my money.
I give you mouth to mouth to resuscitate you so you give me my money. Like, oh man, that shit was so
that
funny.
That was so funny.
That was so funny. Also, just watching Charlie Murphy. Charlie Murphy is so interesting thinking about him and Eddie, as you know, Eddie was of course Eddie Murphy, but to see that Charlie kind of had his own career, but Charlie was like so freaking gangster. Could you imagine being as famous as Eddie Murphy was and that is your brother? Like, bro, I'm feeling invincible, dog. Like you ain't telling me nothing. And I remember watching a clip of, I think I talked to you about it, Bray. Maybe I was talking on the podcast, but I think my mom was watching old Tonight Show clips, and it was when Eddie came on for Beverly Hills Cop 2. Eddie is in full mm-hmm. Eddie mode, bro. Like, he is like the man. Like, he was annoyed that he didn't get a lot of press for Beverly Hills Cop 2. I think it opened that day or something. He thought he should have more press. My man doesn't take his shades off. He makes a couple. So first off, he makes no jokes during his interview. Then he's like, hey, who else is on the show? They tell him, and he's like, Carson tells him, and he's like, I think I'm a stay. So he just stays for the rest of the show. And then as the other person's doing the interview, he starts talking. And is at one point he's like, yeah, you know, they weren't going to let us in because we came with too many black folk. And they're like, I don't know who all these Negroes are in here. And I'm thinking in my mind, a 1986 Eddie Murphy and a 1986 Charlie Murphy was with the shits, bro. Like I can't even, because Charlie, no, yeah. I can't let me just be a fly on the wall to see what that was like. Give me a movie just showing me what was it like to be out here in that time. I like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Oh my. Yeah.
Dancing in my pants and dancing in your face.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we also get the scene that is, you know, straight out from what happened to NWA, where they like perform their song Sweat From My Balls, and they get arrested for doing it. They have these big old balls.
Yo.
Just bouncing around the stage. So silly.
It's so good.
That was fun.
Like, honestly, it was so good.
Yeah.
I mean, also when you think about that too, it's like, I remember, you know, in Straight Outta Compton and then hearing like Ice Cube talk about it. The fact that at one point, you get so censored that they just wanted to, they were just arresting these dudes. Like, they were like cops chasing them for just making music. Like, that's, when you think about it, that's kind of a crazy situation. Like, just to make music? I mean, I guess he did say F the police, which is kind of, it's kind of intense. That's kind of like an intense way to start off the concert, you know?
Well, it was freedom of speech.
That is true. That is true.
It is crazy to think, like, think about how much people, like, especially like right-wing people say they love the Constitution, but like how the Constitution, when it comes to Black people, they don't care about. You know what I mean? It's like the First Amendment is freedom of speech. And they're like, no, 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 but like, you can't say that.
Oh, yeah.
You're inciting violence or whatever it is. Yeah.
Because thinking about it, Bray, like, you know, I was reading this book and they're like, oh, the last time we had true gun reform is when the Black Panthers were openly walking around with guns, which was legal. And I'm like, well, yeah, right. You know, it always, that's why all the Black people should join the NRA. Flood it. That's just a theory. It could work. It could not work. But we're not a political podcast. So I don't know. I don't know. We don't do politics here. I'm just saying, if we did flood the NRA and they had to look after their members, even though that one, Felipe Castillo, I'm sorry, I'm mispronouncing his name. At the time of his unfortunate passing, he was an NRA member and they said nothing in support of him.
His murder.
Yeah, his murder. Sorry, that's correct. Right. They said nothing to support him, which was fascinating. But again, we're not a political podcast.
No.
Back to the CB4 jokes and laughs and laughs and jokes.
Yuck em ups.
The hee hee ha ha's.
It basically, you know, it ends with Albert setting up a sting. They have like Sissy, you know, seduce the real Gusto.
Listen here. Sissy had on that one piece cat suit. I was like, Lord have mercy, Sissy. Good God.
She did a split and twerked on the floor.
Oh my Lord. Sis.
He was like, all right, yeah.
Well, my man said, I bought you a present. First off, Charlie Murphy said, I bought you a present. Reaches in the bag and was like, I bought my Jimmy hat. And it's like the biggest condom I've ever seen.
And then she's like, I think maybe this one. And then it's like this little tiny inch.
Yes.
And he's like, ha, you got jokes.
Yo. No, but it's right after this. Like when Chris Rock comes out and tricks him, all of a sudden when all the guys come in, there's this weird moment between him dressed as a woman and like
so weird
and like what was it Grandmaster Arson where they like
almost kiss
or about to kiss. I was like is this just saying that Grandmaster Arson just is obsessed with any woman or like I was so confused at why that bit happened in any way shape or form.
It was supposed to be a joke because then they go nah and then you're like all right I don't know about that joke. It was like a weird I get like kind of homophobic, but also not.
But it's not either. It was just weird. Yeah.
It felt both homophobic, but also homoerotic at the exact same time. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, I don't know what's going on.
I had no idea what was going on, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That was,
it was so crazy. I was like, I have no idea what this is.
And then, And so, you know, it ends with them, it ends with them basically going, hey, we're going to be ourselves now, but we're still rapping and we're still doing our songs. But he was going to be Albert instead of Low Cash. But that was that.
Shout out Low Cash. I will say the thing I liked about this movie, and it sucks it didn't make any money or get any claim like Spinal Tap. But also that's the thing I feel like I struggle with when it comes to hip hop, where like hip hop is, it's it's interesting that we're doing this movie after, the Grammys. See,
okay.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
This is Spinal Tap, by the way. It came out in 1984, but it only made $4.7 million.
But people love that goddamn movie, yo.
It's a cult classic, I think. Yeah. Mm. But that's the thing that's crazy about it. Is like CB4 was actually more successful at the box office, but people don't talk about it as much.
Well, think about it like this. Like, I did not watch the Grammys, but I've been reading a lot of reviews, and I, you know, like probably, you know, everyone else, like I saw Jay-Z's acceptance speech. Mm-hmm. And it is something that is very disrespectful that even now, even with hip hop being as successful as it is, even with all the crossover appeal, like most of those hip hop awards, like, I don't think a rapper outside of, well, JC technically didn't present an award. I don't think a rapper presented an award at the Grammys.
Really?
Like, I don't think one presented an award. Like, I don't think they did. I'm not even sure if they, like...
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. And it's, I think majority of the rap awards, I think people were saying weren't on camera. Like, some of them were like, you know, not even on camera. And I think about this all the time. Like, a rap album, unless you include Outkast, which the album had a lot of music too, there's only been none or the one rap album to ever win album of the year. It's something that people like, because it's black, people like really, bruh, the fact that, what's the pawn shop dude name? Remember he had one, Macklemore. The fact that Macklemore has more rapper, I mean, oh, more right. Grammys than like a Nas is insane to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think about movies like this and even a Spinal Tap where like it talks about something that's very popular, has a really strong point of view about it. Whereas I've always wanted to make a hip hop like kind of musical, but almost in the vein of what's that Bradley Cooper's movie? Crap.
A Star is Born.
A Star is Born. And then Jeff Bridges had a movie where he was like
Crazy Heart.
Yeah. Like I just want like a rap version of that, but I feel like the world doesn't care. I hate to say it, I feel like truly Hollywood sometimes, as much as we think it's, you know, super liberal, doesn't really treat black people the same way it treats a lot of other ethnicities. And this movie just is
no.
I know. But Ray, they tell you they don't. They tell you they don't. You know what I mean? They tell you they don't. But I did like this movie. I just wish it gets the credit that it deserved. Yeah. Like, I feel like even as like cult status, it doesn't get the same type of love I think it truly deserves.
No, and that's just, yeah, it's like, yeah, and it's because it's about rap and not about rock. I mean, that's really it, right?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Like, I mean, I guess like the critics at the time also just didn't think it was as good, but it's funny. Like, I don't like, it's a funny movie. Yeah, it is what it is. What you gonna do?
I know, which sucks. It's like, it should be better. It should be like, I don't know, man. It's like one of those things where I'm like, we should be doing things that, also, I don't know. I feel like it's that tough part where like I keep seeing interviews now with like black creators. And it's the thing of, you know, should we care about these awards and accolades from people other than ourselves and our own community? And like, no, but also yes, because those things do matter in the long run. So it's just, I don't know. It's that catch 22 is like, you know, you need the awards, but you don't want to have them or the nominations because they're not actually coming from people who watch it. Like hearing about the fact that Ava DuVernay can't even get people to watch her latest movie, Origin, is just, you know, it's all unfortunate. It's all unfortunate. Right. But this movie was great. End on that good note. This movie was great. And you know what I'm happy they didn't have? You know what I'm happy they didn't have? Yeah. Great. I'm happy they did not have a swirl. I'm not pitching one right now.
Oh.
But I'm happy they did not because, like, I feel like it would have been so easy to make, like Dead Mike, for instance, the woke black dude, have a white girl, you know, so I'm happy they were like, nah, they're dealing with other shit other than this. He just wants to be enlightened and still, his character still was funny in the way that he was. So I am happy. I'm happy about that non-swirl. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. James is not here, so no weird, I don't do bits. Here's a bit.
Yeah.
Bit. Nobody likes
which
that
is
bit.
Which is a bit. Which is a bit. Still a bit.
Which is a bit. Anyway, you know, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like the film, but whether or not it helped the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood. If we feel like this film fully helps that cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll raise our ratings for CD4.
Already up, baby.
Okay.
Already up, baby.
Three, two, I'm still doing the countdown. I don't care.
It's still up. It's still up.
All right. Two black fists. It would be three if James was here.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, had to get a black fist. I mean, you got a mostly black cast. You got Chris Rock, who obviously went on to do a bunch of other movies. This is his first film as a leading actor. Obviously, you got Alan Payne. You got Charlie Murphy, Teresa Randall. Condi Alexander. So like, yeah, man, this movie did well. And also, you know, like we said, it paved the way for black people getting to do sketch comedy, getting to be weird, getting to have big ass biscuits and, you know, people with the freaking alien mask, a monster mask next to you in the car while you're taught. Like, it's just like they got to do silly things that like we don't always get to do. You know, yes, it is. It was about gangster rap and it was the satire of that. But like that was very topical at the time. So, I mean, I don't know. It was cool. I'm glad this movie got made.
Same. I am really happy this movie got made. I agree with everything Bray said. I think it's really well done. Even, you know, it didn't get the credit. Hopefully, like, if you guys listen to this episode, you go find it. You know, it's really fun. It's a really fun, well-made movie. So I think it's great. And more people should check it out.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you so much for listening to us. If you live in LA, just so you know, we do have a monthly improv show that we do at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. Next show will be Friday, February 16th, 10 p.m. So come on out to that. You can find tickets at blackmanpodcast.com. Our ticket link should be there. Also there is a link to our Patreon. So to keep the podcast free, we do a Patreon where we do basically two episodes a month. We just did our kind of Oscars review. We have American Fiction, if you the new film that's up for several Oscars, including Best Picture and Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor. And also, we'll put up polls and stuff to ask you, you know, what you want to want us to review. So we'll put that up there. It's $5 a month. We got a bunch of episodes, so check that out. You can follow us on social at Black Men Podcast, Twitter and Instagram, and you can follow me at John Braylock.
You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram. And you can follow James at Rule of Three. What was it? Rule of Three,
yeah,
Inc.?
Yeah, Rule Three, Three, Inc. Rule Three, Rule of Three, Inc. Yeah.
Yeah.
Three is the number three.
Yeah.
And also, if you give us a review, rate us 5 stars on iTunes, we'll read your review on the air. We got a new review, baby. Ready?
Okay.
Book of Clarence.
Mm-hmm.
This is from House of Mosaic. It says the Book of Clarence was referenced in The Harder They Fall at minute 52:31. Jim Beckworth says, like they say in the Book of Clarence, no man outspeed me. Nice Easter egg. Wow. That's a great Easter egg.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I didn't even see that.
Thank you so much for letting us know and for rating us 5 stars. That's so cool. I did not know that either. So yeah, we will be here in 2 weeks where we will be reviewing, pretty sure, we'll be reviewing One Love, the new Bob Marley movie that's coming out on Valentine's Day. Boop, 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 boop. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Peace.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!